Let us pray. Lord our God, as we have said that canticle together and been reminded of all that you are and all that you have done for us, stir up in us the desire, the longing to go and make disciples. However small and insignificant we feel in that role, help us, Lord, because it is only through you that are we able to make disciples. Help us, Lord, as we now come to consider your word, to listen only to you. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I begin with a question. Are you an art lover? Do you spend your free time visiting art galleries, perhaps the National Gallery in London, the Tate Modern in its many guises? Or perhaps whilst you've been on holiday, you've been to the Louvre in Paris, or even the Hermitage. Maybe you've a favourite artist, Constable, Picasso, Van Gogh, Turner, Banksy. Thank you, John. At home, maybe there is a painting or a drawing which you love to look at, you appreciate the skill of the artist. Well, if you're struggling with the thought of a sermon about art, perhaps you could substitute the subject for which you consider yourself to be a lover of. Maybe it's sport, nature, food, books. In other words, what is your passion? What is it that you want to spend your time and resources on? What can and do you talk about enthusiastically, wanting to be with like-minded people and wanting to share your knowledge and experience with others? Are you a lover of Jesus? The 11 disciples went up the mountain and they worshipped. They recognized Jesus for who he was and knew their response needed to be one of worship. When we come into church, our worship should be a response of love. Is that how it feels? Now, we might find the language of lover of Jesus difficult, but really we shouldn't. A Christian is a person who follows Jesus with all that we are and all that we have. We cannot be lukewarm or half-hearted about Jesus. If you watch a crowd at a football match, they easily identify the supporters. They wear the clothes of the team. They sit together. They sing the same song. They cheer and they are desolate at the same time. That can be said to be love. Is it the same for us? I'm not suggesting we all have to wear the same clothes. You'll be pleased to know. Back to the art world. I can draw and I can paint. It's highly unlikely I would ever be an artist. When I was training to be a teacher, a primary school teacher, we had to learn how to teach art. And the way they did it was to get us to do the artwork. Well, that was okay until the assessment came. The assessment had to be a display and a written commentary. So, did the display. I got the feedback and it said, it was really good to see that you had included in your display some children's artwork. No, it was all my own work. I can appreciate art. I like to visit art galleries and I can see the skill and dedication people put into painting. But I am not and never will be an artist. It's not about me. It is about Jesus. God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. Those are Peter's words. Jesus is Lord and Christ. Lord, Master, Ruler, Christ or Messiah, the Anointed One of God. This is the one who we are called to serve and to follow. If Jesus is the Lord and Saviour, then who are we? Well, I think the amazing and scary thing is we are the people who Jesus says are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. This is our purpose in life. Physically, Jesus has left us to be the ones to continue his work. Not in our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I am with you always. So how are we doing at making disciples? I went on a school trip to the National Gallery with 30 8 and 9-year-olds. 30 children, and they were 8 and 9-year-olds. That's it. There we were, sat in front of this large and vibrant painting. We were told about the story of the painting, the symbolism being displayed, how the positioning... Oh, not yet, not yet. No, don't spoil the surprise. Not that painting. How the positioning of the people showed something about status. How the different colours and animals meant particular things. We learnt about the techniques used to make the painting, put the painting together, and what the purpose of the painting was for those who came as visitors to the owner's stately home. Every single one of the children and adults were fascinated. There was a real sense of disappointment when our time with the expert came to an end. Most of the children, it would have been their first time to ever step foot in an art gallery, and yet their attention was held throughout. And then as we continued to go around the gallery, so we observed and discussed the other paintings with a small amount of knowledge and insight. The expert who explained the paintings was engaging. She knew her subject well and was able to get her message across to children and adults. Jesus, as the painting, is also fascinating. Peter speaks to the crowd in Jerusalem. Many people are listening, and the words they hear have an effect. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" When was the last time you or I were actually brave enough to speak about our faith to another person? It's easy to say, well, I'm actually not much of an expert. I wouldn't know what to say. I wonder, to what extent was Peter an expert? He'd spent 3 years with Jesus, in the company of him. But many of us have been coming to church for many more years than 3 years. And still we find it difficult to share our experience and knowledge of Jesus. There's two things that strike me about this. Firstly, we can feel as if we don't know enough. I'm no expert. I wouldn't know what to say or do. But we are more of an expert than we realise. We believe Jesus to be our Lord and Saviour. Then at the very centre of who we are is Jesus. Jesus had already told the disciples, I am with you always. And so we should speak, as they did, of their lived experience of Jesus. How he makes a difference to the way we view the world. How we decide to use our money and time and resources that he has given us. What we do in a crisis. How we can find support from others in our church community. How coming to church on a Sunday or in life group provides us with a time to refocus, refresh, reflect. It's not about knowing what Habakkuk 2:7 says, not a clue, or the ins and outs of the doctrine of eschatology, not much of a clue about that one either. Yes, there are things we can learn, but perhaps we should consider ourselves as apprentices, learning alongside Jesus and learning alongside one another. Certainly seems to be what's described in Acts 2. And together they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I said there were two things which struck me about our reluctance to share faith. And the second is this. So if we could have the first picture on the screen. We need the light off. This is a 17th century painting of a simple beach scene. Just take a moment to look at it. I know it's not very clear. I think it's a Dutch painter. Can you see that there's quite a lot of people on the beach? There is a couple of people this side, a few people that side, and then you seem to have got a few more people gathered together. What on the earth are they looking at? There doesn't seem to be much there. There's a ship out on the horizon, but there's nothing there. What brought this large crowd to the beach? When the painting was cleaned, this is what was discovered. You can see the next one there. It's a beached whale. It had been painted over. It makes a complete difference to the actual painting. It makes sense of what's there. Experts believe that the reason that the whale was painted over was because of the unsavoury nature of the subject. Can the same be said of Jesus? Jesus in our world has been painted over because his message is unsavoury. The world seems only to be concerned with self, power, money, status, consumerism. Jesus has been sidelined as no longer relevant, his message not suitable to today. But we only have to see the paper, the TV, listen to our friends, our colleagues, our own struggles, to know Jesus is needed as much today as he ever has been. Maybe as the church we're not part of the large crowd. Perhaps we're the smaller groups on the sidelines. We know Jesus. We know him to be the way, the truth, and the life. But we are reluctant to get amongst the crowd and to speak of who Jesus is and what he has done and is doing in this world. What should we be doing to make disciples? And how should we be doing it? What should we be doing to make disciples? And how should we be doing it? I'm not going to answer those questions now. There's a comments and suggestions box at the back of church. If you've got thoughts or questions, leave them in there or tell me after the service. The only thing I am going to say is that part of the answer has to be whether we think it's important enough to do something about it. Can we move on to the next one, please? So this is a painting of Jesus. It's called The Resurrection of Christ. In Italy, I think, somewhere. A few months ago, experts realised that this painting and the next painting were originally one painting. If we could just go back to the other one, please, for a moment. A tiny cross at the base of the painting matched the cross that the star on the staff that Jesus is holding. Also, you can see, well, vaguely see, the people are standing on an arch, which, when you look at the next painting, it matches up. See, just at the top there. For years and years, they didn't realize it was one painting. Bottom half of the painting is named The Descent into Limbo. Now, there's lots of theological questions about limbo, which is not the time, and I don't know much about it anyway, to go into. Because the top half, you see the top half, this is the one that is important. The resurrection of Christ is why we need to go and make disciples. Peter, with many other words, warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Peter and the disciples recognized in Jesus the power he had to save, and so people repented and were baptized. They turned from the old way of life to the new, a life of fullness with Jesus. Because the disciples were willing to take a risk and go about the work of making new disciples, so we in turn have heard and received the good news of Jesus. Is that where it's going to end? Are we going to be the people who think, well, that's okay, we know Jesus? Or are we going to take a risk? Speak to people of our faith. Speak to people about the Jesus that we know. We are called to go and make disciples of all nations in this time and in this place. Let us pray. Lord, it is about you. Help us to be people willing to take a risk for you. Help our love for you be so overwhelming and so overflowing that we have the courage to go and make disciples for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.